Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
Hello, and welcome back to Did You Know? Success Leaves Footprints. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We've had technical difficulties and had to restart the program. I'm going to pick up as close as I can to where we left off prior to. Again, listening by computer or other device, you are good. We welcome you and we appreciate you. The technical difficulty that we had is in the length of the show that was scheduled at this time. Rather than 90 minutes, was scheduled for 15 minutes. Please welcome back. Now, I was telling you that next week, I'm excited about the host that we're going to have. It's a special host. We're going to talk about Haben Girma. And Haben Girma is a black female who graduated from Harvard Law School. She is the first person of any color, any gender, that is both deaf and blind to have graduated from Harvard Law School. She is well respected in the area. And we look at many excuses why we cannot succeed. But this is a lady that, although blind, she has approximately 1% of the vision in that time. She graduated from Portland State with magna cum laude, and she went on to Harvard, and she is fulfilling her dream. And I have a special guest who wants you to join us next week. But let us resume on Bill Russell. Bill Russell was great on and off the court. Let me tell you a little bit about his exploits. Bill Russell, hang on, let me just check one thing here. I just opened the microphones. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
I think we lost Marshall, but hopefully we didn't lose a lot of other people. I appreciate it. We're talking about Bill Russell, the basketball player, who won 11 championships in 13 years. This is a record that has not been excelled. It is better than the record of Tom Brady, who we see as a superstar because he's won 7 Super Bowls, which is great, absolutely outstanding. But Bill Russell was on a team that won 11 championships in 13 years. When Bill Russell was in middle school, he didn't have the luxury that many of us think that accomplished great basketball players, because he was cut from the middle school team. He didn't play well enough, and he was almost cut from his high school. Now, Bill Russell was born, I believe, in Arkansas, and the family moved west in search of opportunities. Black people have moved in this country in search of an opportunity, not for a handout. We don't necessarily need that, but what we do need is fair and equitable treatment. His high school coach saw something in Bill that they became lifelong friends. And what he saw in that, they went back and worked on fundamentals. And this is so important because fundamentals are what move us on in life, no matter what we are doing. We can get fancy. We can go out and be showy. We can do all of these things, but we need to keep in mind that they are all built on fundamentals. It's like our foundation. It's like what we base our life on. And many of us are basing our life on a weak foundation. And I say weak foundation because I'm speaking from the standpoint of a historian here. If we don't have solid information about who we are and what the facts are, we can't learn from history. It's impossible to learn because what we're being taught is a lie. L-I-E, flat and simple, a lie. You can build your church on a rock and it will stand. You build your house on sand and it will not survive because that foundation is going to move on you. And what we're trying to do is to go back, not and change any facts. We're not changing the facts, but we are presenting them in the manner that they should be observed. Bill Russell, when he finished high school, was offered one scholarship, one, and that was with the San Francisco Dons, D-O-N-S. That was their mascot. And in his last 2 years there, they won, I believe it was the NCAA championship. But Bill was an unconventional player at best. And he saw this as an opportunity to get out of the ghetto. Out of the ghetto. This is why the family had moved to Oakland in the first place, in search of opportunity, not a handout. Of opportunity. And Bill saw this as a way of getting out of that situation. He was not drafted by the Sonic. He was drafted by another team that basically didn't want him and made a trade. Excuse me, not the Sonics, the Celtics. He did play with the Sonics for a while, or coached them for a while. And that was the Seattle Supersonics, which are now, I think, the Oakland Thunder. But he was the first head coach in all of National Football League, National Basketball League. Where is my head today? Anyway, he got there, and people thought Red Auerbach, the coach of the Celtics, was going crazy because nobody could understand what the value was in taking Bill Russell as a basketball player, career. The Celtics were champions of the National Basketball League and were not filling the stadium. Yet the ice hockey team was selling out with a mediocre record at best. And at one time, they asked the fans of Boston, what can we do to increase the attendance at the basketball games? And of all the answers that came in, there were a surprising number that said you have too many blacks. Now, they started with one. I think they were the first team in the NBA to start three black players. Now, the San Francisco Dons received much the same reception. Because if memory serves me right, they were the first college basketball team of an integrated school that started five black players. But those players brought them a championship. A championship, ladies and gentlemen, of all the United States. And they were hounded because of the color of their skin, not the quality of their play. Dr. Martin Luther King says that the arc of the universe is broad, but it bends towards justice. Now, we see that there's not as much furor now when we start these players because people are now looking at talent. They're looking beyond the color of their skin. And Bill Russell had a lot to do with this. We see a game now, and those of you that are too young to remember, the lane on the basketball court used to be 6 feet. 6 feet. When you see the free throw line, there's a circle, and that lane has been extended the full width of that circle. It used to didn't be like that. That lane looked like it was on a thermometer. You know how a thermometer used to come down and then had that bulb at the bottom? That's the way the lane used to look. But Bill Russell was such a dominating player, that they changed the rules of the game. Bill Russell changed the complexion, and you can take that word any way you want to, of the game of basketball. So we come from an area in which the accepted belief of some of the most educated people in this country is that black people did not have the intelligence to dribble a ball down the court, engage in play. That was accepted. But we have blown that theory apart because now we have facts. We can see them. We can understand them. And we can refute them. And for that reason, history has left out so much. Now, they leave out the accomplishments, the brilliant accomplishments that people have made. The program that we're talking about is not just for black people, because it's for everybody. And let me explain why. If I'm on a team and I don't think that you can contribute, I'm not going to look at you the same way. And so we in America are on a team. We pit ourselves against the world. And yet and still, when we don't talk about the abilities of everybody on that team, then we are cheating people. Both those that are on the team and those that are wanting to be on that team, wanting to be team players. But you've been bombarded all of your life with information that says they can't, they can't, they can't. And that has permeated the world so much that we, and I'm speaking now of black people, don't understand what we have been through. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand that we were created by God. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mistakes. There are things that we can do that no other people on the face of the earth can do. I'm not going into those differences. I'm going to those areas where we are alike. And if we look, as we study the DNA, as we many of these characteristics, we find that we are 99.99, on infinite, there is a very small difference. In fact, if we look at the Cheddar Man, a ancestor to the Europeans in Great Britain 10,000 years ago, and we've been able to look at the DNA, and we understand that the color of Cheddar Man, he had dark hair, blue eyes, dark skin. Things sometimes evolve, but the thing that does not change is the mind, the heart, the soul. When I went to school, I went to an HBCU, and one of the things that was our mantra was tenacity. Tenacity. Hang in there, baby. And that's what we have done. But I want to show you what he was up against, because as he progressed in his career, he goes to Boston. Nobody wants him in Boston. Let me tell you about the lane change. The best coaches in the game of basketball said that you cannot be a defensive player unless you have both feet on the floor at all times, because you can't react. You can't react. But Bill Russell was jumping. He was blocking shots. He was knocking them back. He was doing everything. Dynamic player. Now, many people argue when it comes to the case of greatest of all times against with Wilt Chamberlain. There was a difference between Bill and Wilt, and part of that difference was their philosophy on the game. Wilt Chamberlain has scored 100 points in a game. Russell never has. I don't know that that was on his mind. Let me tell you the difference between these two players. When Bill Russell was going to the Celtics, he scouted the team. Yes, he scouted the team. What did he have to scout it for? He studied every player on that team, not from the standpoint of competition, but he looked at it from the standpoint of what can I do to make this team better. Bill Russell did what was best for the team. Wilt Chamberlain did what was best for Wilt Chamberlain. Great player. Now, they were friends all through time. Now, one of the things that we see is that Bill Russell did not do the PR that many people do. He wasn't the one that you were going to find out laughing and giggling and patting you on the back and all this kind of stuff. And he didn't want to be disrespected. People would come up to him and push a piece of paper in his face and basically say, "Sign this." No. He was a person. He would do it. But you had to respect who he was. He wasn't going to just take anything. These are the differences that have come with the sport. We often see people that are recognizable, and we expect that when they go out for a meal, they didn't go out for a meal. They came out to sign autographs, and people are running up, That didn't sit well with Bill Russell, and therefore he was sometimes contentious with the writers of the game. But Bill Russell was a team player. Bill Russell spent time fitting in. Bob Cousy, the newspaper in Boston was unfair to Bill Russell because they wrote articles such as the fact that Russell should be grateful for the fact that he's on a team with Bob Cousy. Now, he had studied Cousy. He knew what was going on. He knew that when he got a rebound, and they worked this out, where he was so that he could pass that ball to Cousy. He could have hogged the glory for himself, but he didn't do it. Therein lies a story for us. We need to be team players. When I look at Martin Luther King was a young pastor in Montgomery and was nominated for the leadership of the Montgomery Improvement Association by none other than Edgar Nathaniel French Sr. Edgar Nathaniel French Sr., who I met when I went to Livingstone College because of his position there. I knew his son, his daughters. We went to school together. So don't ever underestimate the power of an HBCU. Do not, or do it at your own peril, because we learn that tenacity, and we do that. Now, Bill Russell was a great player, and Bill was treated very harshly in places. There were times when the team went to a place and they would not serve Bill Russell. They were going to a high-profile game at one time, and they could not find a restaurant to eat in. The hotel had said that they would serve them if they were Celtics, that's members of the team. They wouldn't serve just any person with dark skin. Now, this is ridiculous, but these are the things that he had to put up with. He pulled the team. Now, at one time, he and Casey Jones, and I'm not such a basketball historian that I know the other players, but there were at one time three of them starting. But they faced difficulties. We often think that when people of renown performed and did everything else, that they were given treatment the same as anyone else. I remember preparing dinner for Nat King Cole when he appeared in Spartanburg, because they would not let him eat in the dining facilities at the hotel there. He could come in, but he had to come in through the back freight elevator or the back elevator. Does this sound familiar? People do things and they mess with your psyche because we don't know who we are. We don't know what we can do. We don't know what we can contribute. To give you an example of what happened, the press and Bill Russell had a very contentious relationship. And one young lady came up and had asked Bill a question, and I think maybe she had mentioned the fact before. And one of the male newspapers had made a very snide remark. And she asked him, as a person, as a gentleman, as a person who deserved respect, and he said yes. And he spent a full day with her. And she said, "You did this because of what happened back there, didn't you?" And he said, "Yes." Now, if you've ever heard Bill Russell laugh, that is a laugh that you will know anywhere you are. You'll know it in the dark. He had humor. He was treated so poorly that at one time when he was in, he had a home in Massachusetts, and thieves broke into his house. They destroyed trophies. They stole stuff. They even defecated in his bed, showing you how much respect he got, what he had to endure as one of the greatest men ever to step on the court. We see Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was that name. He was another person that made a change in the game of basketball. They made it illegal to dunk the ball, although now they have rescinded that rule. Bill is such a great player that just recently his number has been retired by the league. Every team has retired the number 6. Now, there are some exceptions. Those players that currently have the number 6 will be allowed to keep it, but it will not be issued by any other team. This is similar to Jackie Robinson, who played with the number 42. It has been retired by baseball. No other team wears 42. Now, when they honor Jackie, everybody wears 42. But I want to make mention of something that many of us don't realize, and that is the NFL in the early, early days was integrated sparsely. Fitz Pollard, which we sometimes hear, was a player coach. They didn't have separate coaching teams, but he was a champion that led champions. He was of black extraction. At one point, the league went through 12 years as an all-white league, not a known black player in the league. Now, let me explain what I mean by known. We have people like Walter Francis White, Walter Francis White was head of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And as such, he was able to get a lot of information on the lynchings and other activities that were taking place in the South. And the way that he was able to do that is he had blonde hair, blue eyes, and very, very fair complexion. In fact, he was doing some research. Word got out that he was down there. And as he is getting on the train to leave to save his life, the conductor is telling him, "You're missing the fun, because there's some light-skinned Negro, and I clean that up, and we're going to get him tonight." Now, they're talking to the man, but he didn't appear. Now, what else is well-known about Walter Francis White? He has a book out, A Man Called White, and he says he has no distinction on his body anywhere of his Negro heritage. In fact, he got into a fight with a classmate because he was drinking from the colored water fountain as a kid. But his grandfather was William Henry Harrison, president of the United States of America. And we talk about how solid these people are, how wholesome they are. And yet he had a child by one of the family's slaves. And that child was Walter Francis White. I want you to understand how thin the veil is. We have people in Maine, the state of Maine, who were unaware of Benjamin Darling and Malaga Island. This was a black man that owned an island in Maine. And they were a mixed community. And there are white people today finding out that they didn't realize that they were part of that heritage. So when people act like whatever, I have an inward smile because they don't really know. Now, Bill Russell led protests against the treatment of black people. But let me go back to the NFL. The NFL was all white until 1946, when the Cardinals, the St. Louis Rams moved to Los Angeles. They later filled in with the Cardinals, who are now in Arizona. But teams change, everything changes. When they moved there because there was a brand new stadium. There were protests. And these protests were due to the fact that that stadium was built with taxpayer funds. And you're going to tell the taxpayers that they cannot have a black player in that stadium? The Rams had two players. The Cleveland Browns took two players. We had Woody Strode, Marion Motley, Washington, Kenny Washington, and Strode. Anyway, there were two on the Rams, two on the Browns. That happened in 1946. We don't hear about them. We hear about 47. That's the year that Jackie Robinson integrated baseball. I'm not sure that was the greatest move. Why? Because from the standpoint of entertainment, the Negro Leagues were more entertaining. But we had the concept that you had to go white league in order to be successful. Think about that for a minute. We can make changes. We can make changes every day. And when we do so, we need to do so with the intent of making changes. Will Chamberlain stood up for those changes. There were times when he would not play. There was a time, now understand, that Boston fans were irate when Arbaugh took and or traded for Russell. See, I think the Celtics were at a point where they were number two or whatever in the draft. The number one team, and Arbaugh arranged a trade. Now, nobody could see it because, remember, defensive players have to have both feet on the grounds at all times. But if you watch Russell's films, you'll see him knock those balls out of the sky. He was a tremendous athlete. But as a defensive player, he didn't have the high scoring statistics. But he was consistent, consistent. And this is one of the things I want to point out to you. Again, we are created by God. God doesn't make sense. When we look at Wilt being cut from his middle school team, we see a person that is determined. We can become anything we believe we can become. Remember we talked about this last week when we talked about Nichelle Nichols. And Nichelle Nichols, who was Lieutenant Uhura. And Uhura comes from the Swahili meaning freedom. Freedom. She changed the entire complexion of TV. Because as a kid, I used to get Jet Magazine, which was small enough you could fit in your back pocket, and turn to the back page because they showed every person of color that was going to be on TV that week. That's how far we have come. But when the show was first pitched by Gene Roddenberry, they had a fit.
I'll do it.
Huh?
Good to see you all, too.
What was that?
Yes, you enjoying this good breeze. Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, we see that happening. And we have to take advantage of what's going on. I lost my train of thought there. But as we talk about what is going on, Wilt made so many changes to the game, and he was a team player, not an individual player, and contributed so much to this game that we have to pay a debt of honor. We owe a debt of honor to him for that reason. Now, he left the Sonics when he wasn't into all of this publicity. They wanted to retire his number. The Celtics wanted to retire his number 6. And he asked that it be done in a private ceremony because he wasn't endeared to the fans of Boston. He was endeared to the Celtics, the team that he played with, his teammates. And therefore, being on the wrong side of publicity, he made changes. He improved the game to a remarkable area, to a remarkable length, with his efforts, both on and off the court. He mentored people. There was an incident where he was asked to mentor a new player, and he did, without charge. He was competitive. When Wilt Chamberlain became the first player in basketball to get $100,000 per year, Russell said, you know what you're going to have to pay me? $100,001. Although he had some kind of sense of humor on it, that was the type player he was. He was good. He knew he was good. Everybody knew he was good. But he didn't get the great press that other people got. But yet and still, he hung in there. He made it possible for many of the players we have now. Like I said, his play was unconventional, but he stood there. He stood as a man. I like the expression, you stand tallest when you stoop to help a child. Russell lived his permanent home after he left that area, and he moved to a couple of different places, was Mercer Island, Washington. If you're driving from the east side of Washington State, coming in on I-90, you pass through Mercer Island as you're coming into Seattle. That's where he stayed. Much of the time he was private. Now, when you go to, if you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com and look at this week's post, you will see an interview that he gave later in life. He began to mellow somewhat without giving up his principles. Now, recently when he had his funeral, I think he had his sons and grandchildren were his pallbearers. He was very dedicated to his family. He was very dedicated to those things that he believed in. And I want to give you a hint that has nothing to do with basketball, nothing to do with basketball, but it is a lesson that we learn from him. And that lesson is you make room for those things that are important for you. When you plan out your week's schedule, I want you to put on your schedule first those things that are important to you. If you have a daughter or a son playing sports, put it on the calendar. Let everything else fill in around it. When you put in so much junk, if you had a jar and you put sand in and then put rocks in, there may not be room for the rocks. But if you put those rocks in first, those are the important things that you need, and pour sand in it, you'll notice how they fill in the empty gaps so much more efficiently than the other way around. When we live our life, and I do a program on Thursdays called The Road to Success, and the title of that has been changed to Faith and the Road to Success, because we have not been taught many of the success principles, and we are trying to do that. So that entrepreneur spirit that you have, we have survived because of the entrepreneurial spirit. That's how we got Tulsa, one of the most successful black cities ever. And yet 10,000 people were left homeless. People even came in airplanes to dump gas on houses to destroy them, all because of a rumor that a white girl had screamed when a black man got on the elevator in Tulsa who had permission to use the restroom on the sixth floor. We have to understand how fragile the lie is that has put us in the place that we are in. I want all people to hear this statement, that we are made by the greatest force the universe has ever seen. And we can become anything that we believe we can become. I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to divert back to Nichelle Nichols. She was not born Nichelle Nichols. She was born Grace Dale Nichols, but because of her career and with the blessings of her parents, the name was changed to Nichelle. But when she went to interviews, she had a classmate that went with her, a classmate from high school that went with her on all of those interviews. You know that classmate. Most of you do. That classmate was Marla Gibbs, which many of you may know as Florence on the Jeffersons. They were high school together. They had dreams together. And understand that Nichelle could sing, she could dance, she was a wonderfully talented person. She starred in Porgy and Bess, she starred in other programs that you are probably aware of. And she was going back, and Dr. Martin Luther King said, you cannot do that because you are a role model. You model what life is. You are the person that so many people look up to. Now, let me let you in on a small secret. Star Trek took place in the 23rd century, meaning 2400 something, 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 something. 22 anyway, because I think we're one behind. Anyway, the reason that that was done is because when Gene Roddenberry placed Lieutenant Uhura on the deck of the Starship Enterprise, they said this will never work. Equality of gender? Equality of race? Oh, no. Get out of here with that stuff. And Gene was a shrewd person. He said, well, when will it be okay? And they said the 23rd century. So that's why Star Trek is even in the future, because that's what had to be done in order to show that we were capable, that we were capable of anything. Now, understand, we dominate the game of basketball now. Dominate it. There is no team that has no black players on it. And with that, we see that there is something that we can look forward to, from the smallest of us to the largest. But let me tell you this. We do it because we put in the effort. You can become anything that you want to. We've talked about this before. But if you go in your pocket and pull out a Roosevelt dime, that dime was designed by Selma Burke. You may not have heard that name. The dime has the initials J.S., John Stenock. John Stenock was in charge of the Mint and put his initials on there. But this is not the first work that he has been shown to have stolen. Selma Burke has an honorary doctorate degree from Livingstone College, Salisbury, North Carolina. She is from the state of North Carolina. We have done everything from designing that dime to inventing the blood bank, and we are responsible in a different kind of way for the polio vaccine. Polio is now making somewhat of a resurgence. Acquired the cells of a black woman in order to follow that progression of the disease long enough to come up with a cure. At one time, the Russians were saying, we have cells that have no connection, but they were so lively that they had indeed contaminated their supplies. It's been all around the world. The cells of this person have been into space. This is Henrietta Lacks. Henrietta Lacks. An entire industry has been built on her cells, and yet they overlooked her contribution. They overlooked the family. If any of you go to Johns Hopkins University, the black person that you will see a portrait of is the person that gave us the cure to Blue Baby Syndrome. Blue Baby Syndrome. And I want you to take a look at that, because he was given an honorary doctorate so that they could call him doctor, because he was not able to be admitted to a school in the United States of America because of the color of his skin. James McComb Smith, and I've recently heard about him on the radio, but they gave him credit for starting the first pharmacy, the first black pharmacy in the United States. But McCone was not accepted either and got to go to Scotland. He earned 3 degrees and was top of his class in all three. He did his internship in Paris, showing that he at least had to be bilingual. He was the first licensed doctor, black doctor, in the United States. We have a long and glorified history. Those of you that are listening, I'll give you that number once more because we're going to open the microphones here very, very briefly. And that number is 646-668-8217. That's 668-8217. If you have questions or comments, you can so do. At this point, we have the microphones open. And if anybody has questions, comments, suggestion, now is the time. Don't be shy, because this is a program dedicated to our community. And our community is not just black people. It is everybody. Once we understand that we all are capable, we can work together, and we can do things that will blow the socks off of what we have seen up to this point. So, anybody? Marshall, are you back with us?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. You know I'm always one of your personal listeners, and I declare you is such an educator. That is what you is. You is certainly educating the blacks. I just wish that more of us would listen to you and understand and learn some of these things that you are telling us about, because Lord knows we don't know. I just thank you for being there and doing what you're doing, and keep on doing what you're doing, and hopefully that someday, somehow, some way, somebody will put some finance to this that you can continue on to do what you do.
Well, I appreciate that. And like I said, next week we're going to have a special guest on. We're going to talk about Harbin Girma. Harbin Girma's parents were from Ethiopia and Eritrea, which are two continents that are next door to each other in Africa. And she was an excellent student, and she is deaf, which means she cannot hear. She's blind, which means she cannot see. In fact, she has about 1% of the vision that most of us have. And yet she graduated from Harvard Law School with honors and is well-respected. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about people that have other handicaps as well. We sometimes want to put them out in the field and act as if they are not capable. What the shame of this whole thing is those of us that have all of our faculties that don't use them. That's the shame. We can excel in any and everything. With Nichelle Nichols, who we talked about last week, she is the one that recruited Sally Ride. Sally Ride is the first American woman in space. Judy Resnick, the second woman in space. Mae Jemison, Dr. Mae Jemison, the first black woman in space. Guy Bluford, the first black American male in space. Now, I say that for a reason, because he was not the first black in space. The first black flew on the Soyuz, a Soviet mission. He was a Cuban pilot. He was the first black and the first Latino to fly in space. We think we've got everything, but the world is catching up. And while we're here nibbling at each other, we're missing out on an awful lot. I believe I see Deacon Armstrong. Are you with us, sir? I guess he's not. Anyway, anybody else? Be sure to join us next week as we talk about Harbin Girma. Fascinating story. She has done so much with the Americans with Disability Act that she is there. She has a book out. We'll talk about that. If you also look at the post that we have on AmazingBlackHistory.com, you will find books about Bill Russell. You'll find interviews with Bill Russell in the videos that follow. Because we don't just give a summary. We give you information to give you an inside look at the subject. We want to educate, entertain, and inform our audience. That's what we have. That's why I want you to share that site. And for those entrepreneurs that are interested in business, be it a brick-and-mortar store, be it the writing of a book or poetry or whatever, join us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. You can use the same link that you're using now. Unless there are other comments, we'll close. I don't want to just talk for the sake of talking, but I want to give good, solid information. And one of the reasons that I do this part of the program is so I can hear from you those things that you would like to hear, subjects that you may have been wondering about for years. It may have been something that we covered prior to. Now, remember that you can go back and listen to past episodes of this show using the links available to do that. And I hope that you will be wonderfully informed, entertained, and get a good, solid knowledge. Once you've read the summary, continue to read down. Also, a special favor. We partner with other companies, and what that allows us to do is if we send traffic to them, we get a small royalty paid by the partner, not you. And so if you shop Amazon, for example, you can use any of our links to go there. You don't have to buy the product in that link. But if you use that link, if you need a refrigerator and you see a link on tennis shoes, click it, because you can put that refrigerator in your cart, have it delivered right to your house, and we both benefit. Because you get the value of the knowledge that's coming, and that can be passed down to generations. Those of us that are older want our children to be educated, and their children, and their children. Not the garbage that we are fed, not the stuff that leaves out everything, but we need to learn. We're preparing already for February, which is Black History Month, and we have a series that I think will be extremely informative. And as always, we do have many posts on women, women of renown that most people don't know about. So last call for any questions, comments, or suggestions at this point. If not, I hope to see you again next Sunday at 4 p.m. Be sure to tell people about this, not just friends, relatives, but acquaintances, anybody that may be interested in the subject. And those of you that are entrepreneurs looking to business of any type, join us on Thursday at 7 o'clock. You can use the same links. With that, I want to be very appreciative of the audience that we have now and hope that we will all be together at the next session. So at this point, I want to thank you for listening and be blessed, my brothers and sisters. Be blessed. This is John C. Abercrombie. The program is Did You Know? And success leaves footprints, and we gently uncover the garbage that's on top of them, leaving the facts to speak for themselves. Be informed, my friends. Be informed. And we will see you again on the next episode.